absolutely great song. We've played it a couple of times on the show, and it's a real delight to be playing it and have the singer-songwriter in the studio as well. The track is called Kulungile, which I always think of as It's Okay, but there's a whole lot more to Kulungile. It will be all right. It is all right. And it comes off a new album called Sankofa, which is Thandiswe Mzwayi. She is back with this new album, and we've got another track, amazing track as well, to play as we go through the conversation. And what a conversation it promises to be. We can talk about National Public Radio broadcasting from there, the Tiny Desk Project. We can talk about so, so much. And we can first and foremost go, I know that you're tired because you were looking after your little nieces last night.
Yes, I was. They came to visit. Hi, how are you? They came to visit. I love them. They're so cute. I really, you know, kids are so much fun. I remember when I was working on the project, my sister's firstborn was about 3 when I started working on the project. So I had, the demos were playing in my car all the time. And she sat in the back seat and one of the demos just started playing. And she said, oh, is this your new music? She said, not new song. She said, new music. And so with a big smile, because I'm trying to convince her that it's incredible, I said, yes, it is. And she said, she listened for a little bit. And then she said, I don't like it. Play another one. I said to her, listen here, in this house, everyone is my fan.
Yes.
Listen here.
Yeah, you don't come into my house unless you're
yes,
a fan.
Yes, I
girl.
Said, you can't be born into the Mzwayi family and then tell me you don't like my music. How dare you?
We're going to talk about being born into the Mzwayi family in a moment, and certainly your siblings, your parents, there's so much more. Kulungile comes off this new album, which is called Sankofa.
Yes.
Which is a Ghanaian word.
Yes. The word means to look back while looking forward, or to go back and fetch what's been left behind in order to be able to go forward. And obviously this has been like an obsession of mine from time immemorial. Since I began making any kind of music, I've been obsessed with memory and reclamation. And mostly because I lost my mother when I was 16. And so this has been my, my obsession to remember her and the things that she taught me. And so I guess this project continues in this album. And it's interesting because this album was recorded in South Africa, in Senegal, and in the US. So there really is like a really much broader sense of reclamation, I feel. More than it was, I guess, in Zabalaza, which was very much a South African project. I wanted to speak to my generation, to people that understood the language and understood the content. But now I think it's gone further. It's become more pan-African and more, it includes the diaspora as well.
I was going to go in one direction, but I'm going to swing into another direction first because you have raised it. And I'm just thinking of that Sankofa. The symbol for the Sankofa is, in fact, a bird which flies forward, but its head is turned backwards. And
yes,
this idea of going back to fetch something. And it makes me think a lot about your relationship with your mother. And I know that you lost her very early. You mentioned that. It comes up in a variety of spaces. It comes up in the title of one of your albums. What is that, and what was that relationship that it is so critical to you, and I know to your siblings as well?
Yeah. Well, I think that there's something about losing a parent and losing them at a very young age.
An important age as well.
Yes, it's a very important age. This is when I was really beginning to really formulate my own ideas. This is, you know, and she had been really, I guess, like anybody's mother, pivotal to how I understand myself, how I see myself in the world. And the lessons that she had implanted in me have grown over the years into like forests, really. So that's what really, I think that's what the work for me is about. Every time I go into the studio, I'm really working through my own healing about my mother's passing. And every time I do anything African, pan-African, Xhosa, any of these things, I know that she's proud of me. And yeah, the work is always an attempt to make her proud.
I think also this idea of going back to collect things, going back to pull from things and that, it's quite, it's so much about, I mean, you worked with Induduzo Makatini on the track we've just played, Kulungile. And so much of his work, of course, is about that, is about referencing our ancestors, referencing the past that is with us now. Mm-hmm. Do you feel that that's the case for you?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you'll remember when I did Zabalaza that it also came with the documentary that we did. And so I've always been about going back. And I've always felt that there's something to be learned from that, you know, especially being a South African, where we've had this history of erasure of our cultures, of our languages, of all of this. So it was really important to me as a young person to start excavating what was there, what I could be proud of, outside of this history of oppression. What else could I be?
So much more.
Yes. And so, you know, so my mother, these things are the things that my mother taught me. And on this album, what really, what happened is that I started to work, I opened a folder that I had gotten from the International Library of African Music, which is at Rhodes University. Mm. And they had given me an archive of Xhosa field recordings of Umkhube and Uhadi. And so that archive then becomes the bedrock for me, where I go, okay, so this is where I'm going to begin. And then I called in my friend Dendai Shoko, who's a bass player, young bass player from Zimbabwe. And so we would sit together through the night, every, you know, throughout COVID, we were locked up in a room together going, okay, so let's see what else can come here. Let's develop some bass lines. Let's develop some guitar lines. And then once we had done that, we gave it to Nduduzo, we gave it to Michelle Ndengecello, and theirs was to respond to the archive, to respond to what Dendai and I had already put down. And I really enjoyed the experience of seeing
that response. It's a conversation.
Yeah.
So like call and response.
Especially when we went to Senegal.
Yeah.
And they would listen and hear Umkhube, for instance, and then bring out their koras, bring out their ngoni, and have this conversation with it. So it just really amazing process for me, making this album.
We're going to go to the instruments and to the uhadi and zabalaza, but when we come back, I want to take you right back to those early...
Way back.
Geez, the excitement. And I don't know if anybody recalls like when Bongo Muffin came out. And I will say that one of my best summer songs of all time came out of Bongo Muffin, and we'll play that in a moment.
I can almost remember the lyrics.
You can remember the lyrics. It's absolutely brilliant. We're with Tandiswa from Mzwai, and they're going way back when to an album that was released many years ago, but actually was, as I say, a track. That was a track that just raised my spirits and hope. And
also interesting that it says, it speaks in Shona and says, Mama, I'm going to Joburg to look for paper money. And you realize that there's still so many people from all over Africa really thinking, let me go to Joburg. This is where opportunity is.
The streets are paved with gold.
Am I in Denda go Joburg? Kuna Maria paper. Kuna Maria paper Joburg.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
So one of the things I was thinking about with that particular album was these incredibly powerful personalities.
Yeah.
Stone, Appleseed. Yeah. I mean, it was like, I mean, yourself. At what point did you say, okay, no, you know what? I love it. I'm having fun and all of that. We're rocking it. We're doing incredible stuff.
Yeah.
But you know what? There's me, and I feel like there's me that needs to find my footsteps or my journey.
Yeah.
Walk that path.
Do you know, because we were all getting people whispering in our ears about how you're the best in the group. Jasid, you should definitely go and make an album, a solo album. And we were resisting that for years because we really believed in the group. We believed in the fact that these four voices, that because you put these four voices together, we could make magic together.
Yeah.
But I think I just kind of... Maria Setswalo was our PR at Sony at the time and a dear, dear friend. And she was one of the people that said to me, you know, it might be time to do it. And for some reason, at that point, it made sense. You know, yeah. I had just had a baby, obviously, with one of the band members. And so there was tension and there were weird things. And I just felt like it was the right time for me to go and see what I could do on my own.
And what you did was you charged off to those studios downtown.
Yes.
I mean, I'm thinking of Lucky Dube, going up in a lift with Lucky Dube to those lifts. I mean, they were like just incredible artists.
I always feel so bad for the young kids now, especially because Joburg doesn't really kind of have a sense of sanctity about, you know, like where certain things just cannot be destroyed.
Yeah.
It makes me so sad that there's no kippies, there's no Doke House. We can't walk to Doke House and say, Mira Makeba walked here, you know. Or you can't go to Downtown Studios now. I mean, it's almost, we still do some recordings there, but it doesn't really, people don't work there anymore. But yeah, it was amazing then to know that Brenda Fassie was here.
Yeah.
Lucky Dube has been here.
They walked
Ladysmith, Black Mambazo, Stimela, the band, is, you know. And, you know, even they had rehearsal rooms there. We used to rehearse there all the time. And sometimes I would sit, because the drummer for Stimela, used to lock himself in a room and just practice his drums the whole day by himself. And there were days when I would just sit on the floor outside his room and just listen to him rehearse for hours and hours. I was just like fascinated by the rhythm and the pocket just being on time. Those were like amazing years.
And maybe also the kind of quality of, I mean, just unbelievable hard work that went into the talent
on Zabalaza,
on for all of those artists that were downtown. You talk about the drummer.
Yes, you know, absolutely. People worked really hard on their crafts.
Yeah,
they were really passionate about it. And I think it's also because there was a place where musicians could meet, you know. You went there and you saw everybody, and so you also felt the sense that, oh, okay, if Stimela is still recording this hard and I'm a new band, this is how I should be recording. This is how I should be rehearsing. You would hear Utatu Kaifa Siminya rehearsing. I mean, that is a masterclass to listen to Kaifa Siminya's band rehearse, because they would be so finicky about a tiny, tiny little detail. They would repeat that the entire day. The entire day. One section of a song. So like, you know, I mean, it was insane. It was a incredible, incredible time.
So there you were recording Zabalaza. I'm trying to remember which came first. Was it Zabalaza or the documentary Spirit of Uhadi? I think it was Zabalaza.
Zabalaza. The documentary happened in the middle of Zabalaza. By some serendipity, we were in the middle of the album thinking, okay, what's next? What do we do? And then the documentary came up, and suddenly there were dots that could be joined by what had happened during that documentary. We could bring things together. We could use Mama Tosini's recordings as our interludes on the album. And so it really brought that spirit of, you know, the Eastern Cape, or, you know, as my mother used to call it, Etranskei. It just brought that spirit into the room, and I felt like I had really done a great justice and service to my mother's memory, you know, through all of that.
You know, we talk about Sankofa returning to fetch something and bring it back. In many ways, I think you did a great service to your mother for that, but you also did such an extraordinary service to South Africans with that documentary, because, and with that album that came out, because it was a case of going, you know, here is Madosini. This is the kind of music that she is playing.
Yeah.
And the traveling. I mean, I remember there was the, you know, traveling by bus, and then.
Yes, and then on was, in the back of a bucky. It was amazing.
Yeah.
And I think it was amazing, because it came at a time when really we needed that as South Africans. We needed to look back at ourselves, at our cultures, at our languages, and become more proud of who we were. Our cultural identity, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because we have a political identity, and that's fine, but our cultural identity was something that had become suppressed, you know? And so I think that Zabalaza and that documentary really played a big role culturally in taking people back to
Maybe homes. Also for people like myself, you know, who didn't know all about it, you know, young white girl, and then suddenly I really recall that period very clearly because of what it taught me. And suddenly I was learning about these incredible instruments. And I felt, I felt so lucky.
Yeah, I felt
so lucky to be part of it and to be part of our country.
Yeah.
I mean, there's any country one could be part of, but at that time it
was
just...
At that time it was, you know, it was really incredible to be South African, because there was so much hope. There was so much possibility, remember? Alive with possibilities.
Alive with possibilities. So let's play it. Two tracks taking you out of the Zabalaza album. And our guest today is Thandiswa Mzwayi. You just heard someone singing her praises earlier. And again, we've got someone saying, "Oh, Benjamin from the Vaal in Sebokeng is saying, you, my dear Thandiswa, that song always touches my heart and my inner soul in a very painful way. Thank you. Thank you so much for the love you bring, my dear. And thank you for bringing King Tut to the studio." So
that's amazing.
And it's something we were talking about a moment earlier.
Yeah.
We were just talking about how amazing it is, but also how difficult it can be to have this incredible love from so many different people. And the impact that you as an artist have. I mean, I'm singing your praises like I'm a fangirl of the age of 16. But that's just because I can. I'm lucky to be able to do that. But for you, it's like you get this. You see this. You hear this. It's just...
Yeah, I mean, it's moving in ways that I can never describe, really.
Yeah.
Because, and I always say this, is that there's so many people who go through their lives, you know, never really hearing the words, "I love you." And I'm in the kind of business where people say it to me every day. So it's just, it's incredible, really, because how do you repay that? And in a strange way, when they say it to me, they say it as though I've already repaid it. And so it's just kind of like it really knocks you over.
Is it not also that you have repaid it? Because what have you done? You've gone and you've said, "Here is my song." And for many of us, we listen to a song and we make it ours. So
yes.
A song about something might mean much more to me than it might to Benjamin and the Vaal and Sebokeng.
Yes, people have their own experiences, their own memories with
and
the work.
And that's your gift.
And the work lives with them. As soon as I leave it, I give it to them, it belongs to people. Then they can... It's like it was my wedding song, it was my this song, it was my mother's song. It's no longer mine, you know?
Yeah.
And I guess that's the beautiful thing, is like you, as an artist, you pour yourself into this thing. And then at some point you say, okay, you can take it. I remember Charles Bukowski, the poet, came. He arrived late at a reading he was supposed to be doing at a university, and he came and he was holding a beer in his hand. It was completely out of it, and the students booed him, and he said in this really sad way, said, "Well, excuse me, you have my soul and I have your money." And it's kind of like, this is the thing about being an artist, right?
You can't give away your soul.
Give away your soul. That's what we do.
So let's shoot forward to this new album. And you actually performed at the Little Desk. Now, Little Desk is part of...
Tiny Desk.
What am I saying? Part of National Public Radio in the States. And, you know, when you watch it, you think, no, man, is this really the setup? Because... it looks so perfectly set up. But actually, in this case, you were really in the studios of NPR.
We were at the NPR studios. And I was saying to people, it's interesting because there are other people working at their desks around this desk. So it's really, that desk is a part of an office.
Yeah.
And when you arrive, then they start setting up cameras in front of it. And then slowly, some of the people who are sitting at their desks come and watch the show. So there isn't an audience.
Yeah.
It's the staff. It's people's, that's who's watching
Why
the show.
Why aren't we doing that here?
And you should definitely be doing it here, because it's, people don't, people love to have visuals these days.
Yeah, they really, really
that's
do.
That's why you've got cameras here.
I know, and they don't, we don't even use them on the weekends.
Oh, you don't use them?
So we have to really do our own
work.
I thought
that camera was staring at me.
No,
it's got a green...
unfortunately, it's like, on the weekends, we just don't count quite as much, I don't think.
I'm so sorry.
But you count 110%. So we've got your co-producer on the line, Shox, Tendai Shoko. You mentioned him earlier.
Yes.
And we've got him on the line. And the conversation and the reason why we got him on the line was because I was saying the song that we're going to close off with, Imini, I was like, man, the production on that song is just crazy. It's like a crazy track, and we'll play it in a short while. But how's it, Tendai? And we know that it's a bit of a shock. Shocks.
Good morning, Michelle. Good morning, Ta. Good morning to the SAFM listeners.
My brother, how are you?
Wagwan.
Come on. Come on. We're on the radio, baby.
We live, baby.
So I want to know, working on this particular album, there's the technical side. Yeah, sure, there's the technical side. You make an album and you record it and you do what. But there's also a kind of emotional part to it as well. And that's like the spiritual part of making an album. Not everybody who is a musician goes into the spiritual, but I definitely feel that King Ta is someone who does. And I'd love to know from you, Shox, what that was about.
I would say, when we started initially, I think that was in 2021. We started by sharing stories, basically just chilling. We'd spend a lot of time together at a place for like days on end, and then once we start getting into the music, it just flows kind of easily and seamlessly, and we just make one song, we sit on it for like hours, then we just go back to talking stories. She tells me about her time with Hugh and stuff, and I get to listen in and grow as well at the same time and get to create, which is like a dope kind of experience.
Yeah. You know, Tandiswa, the talking stories, I mean, that's what it's all about, isn't it?
It is. It's, making any kind of work is about friendship. It's about love. Yeah. And I really love Shox. And I really, enjoy having him around and the conversations we had. Like he says, we would spend days. I mean, we started in, I think it was August, right, of 2021.
Yeah. It's a long time for one album, eh?
Yeah, we Isn't started it? Then. And it was only in May that we took some of our demos and gave them to Michelle for the first session.
Yeah, Michelle Ndegochelo.
Michelle Ndegochelo, sorry, because you're also Michelle.
No,
and we gave them to Michelle Ndegochelo in May of the next year. So, and then after that, it was another, 6 months before we gave some songs to Nduduzo. To then try and do sessions in Joburg and sessions in Senegal. But it was really about me and Shox and the love that we have for each other.
So Shox, I'll put this to you, is that yesterday we were chatting to Shane Cooper and about the difference in engaging with one another, with the other artists, with the producer. And that's just because of technology. But also what COVID did to us was it made us rethink a whole new way of creating that particular music and how to make the music. Did you find that was a different process for you maybe to historically?
Yes and no, also at the same time. Shane is my guy also. He's amazing. I think for me personally, it just works better that way. Yeah. Even when I'm doing sessions or with other people, first, I'd prefer we have a meal first. Let's talk,
Talk about food.
Yeah, let's just find middle ground or something. Let's understand
friendship.
Each other. What kind
build,
of, yeah.
Build friendship.
Yeah.
Build friendship.
Doesn't food do can, that as well?
Yeah.
And what was nice was that because it happened during COVID, and even though we were not really supposed to be hanging out with each other at that time, but he would just come to my house and then we would just chill. We had a lot of time to chill, which was the great thing about COVID.
Maybe you're also hearing that in music as well.
Yeah.
We're just going to go to a couple of messages before we go to the track as well. Let's go to the messages.
Good morning, Michelle, and good morning, Tandiswa. Oh my God. When I listen to Tandiswa, whenever I listen to her songs, all that comes to my mind is who she is as a person, or at least who I perceive her to be as a person. She is quite an embodiment of spirituality, imperfection, and self-acceptance. I haven't seen any artist who portrays that in that depth. And for that, we're so truly grateful to you, Makwanin. So I take special exception to you.
Good morning, Michelle and Tendizo. You got the queen in your studio. I love that lady from the bottom of my heart. This is my Tommy speaking. The music that she's singing, the way she dressed, the way she conduct herself. I loved her so much, the way she's singing the music, the message from her music. She's just something extraordinary. She's just the queen. Take care, my sister. Keep on spreading. I like the way you like culture. You are a true African lady. God bless you. And stay calm and respectful. Your ancestors are watching over you. And God who created you. Thank you, my dear sister.
Oh, Betunan. You know, like, what can I say? What do I say to that? It's like so much love, so much kindness, so much affirmation. It really brings tears to my eyes every time, every time.
Well, I think it's well-deserved as well. And Tendai, you've been working now, and we're going to go to the track, which I heard it for the first time yesterday, and I contacted our producer, Ndosh, and I was like, Who produced that album? So she was chasing poor Tandiswa all over the place yesterday to try and find out who produced that album. Tell us a little bit about that album.
About this track?
No, that track, yeah.
Shox and I worked on the song. Was this our second track?
Yes.
I feel like the first one was Sabela, right?
Yeah,
which
Sabela
we used to call it the father. The songs always have different names throughout the process of making them. Emini was always called Emini, I think.
The light.
Yeah.
No, it means during the day.
Oh, during the day.
Yeah, because the song says Lashon Emini, which means the sun has set during the day, which means, you know, something terrible has happened. Something bad is happening. And it speaks to the political situation we find ourselves in right now, and the kind of government we have, and the condition of people's lives right now in South Africa.
Can I just ask you something? A little bit earlier on in the show, and I mentioned it to you this off air, we were talking to about artists who create work under great duress, and we were talking about the Iranian hip-hop artist that has been sentenced to death for his work, and I showed you the lyrics, and that is something that we never had to think about in this country, certainly during the democracy.
During the democracy, yeah. We don't think about whether these words are going to offend someone. Even on Twitter, we can speak as we please about presidents, governments, politicians, ministers, whoever it is, because we have earned the right to do that. But it's also that, you know, it's these freedoms are very much, they can be quite fickle, because with the change of government, once a new leader comes in, they can really very quickly strip away your rights. So it's very important to know who you're voting for and what they stand for. So, you know, for me, it's, does the party care about gender-based violence? Does the party care about queer rights? You know, these are the things that matter to me. Does the party care about employment? Because my entire family in Soweto, in the Eastern Cape, wherever we are unemployed. Mm. It's crazy to me to think that a hip-hop artist has been sentenced to death for writing a song about freedom. Imagine. That freedom will get you killed. And hate is popular.
Fantastic new track, and it's by, of course, Tandiswa Mzwai, who has been our guest. Now, we both know your publicist, and she would come in here with a riding crop.
Absolutely.
And if you did not publicize, so publicize.
She's like, did you come here to publicize or chat to your friend, Michelle?
Yes. So the question is, Where are you performing?
Well, on the 10th of May, the album comes out, so you can get that. And then on the 11th of May, we have a show at Carnival City.
Yep.
Tickets are at CompuTicket. On the 31st of May, we have a gig in Durban at the Playhouse. Tickets are at Web Tickets. And in July, on the 20th of July, we are at the Artscape in Cape Town.
Wow.
And tickets are at Web Tickets.
Okay.
So we have like a little bit of a Sankofa tour, South African Sankofa tour, but then we also do a US tour in July and kind of introduce them to Sankofa as well.
So let's just put that first date out, because otherwise...
11th of May.
10th of May, launch of the album.
Sankofa. Well, no, the album comes out on the 10th of May, and the show is on the 11th of May. So just go on CompuTicket and you'll see the correct details.
So if you had one closing thought to make about Sankofa, to make about the making of this album, what would you say?
One closing thought, hard to say. I think it is that, you know, as part of this reclamation, we have to reclaim our Pan-African identity, that we are not, you know, as we always say, we say Ndingum Africa, that means I am African, not just South African, but we are African. We belong to all of Africa, and Africa belongs to us.